yourself a cold one.
They strike them, huh?
And listen to Russ Tucker and Philadelphia Eagles film junkie Fran Duffy break down the top college prospects on another tasty edition of The College Draft.
Yeah, Daddy Soda time. Week 6 in college football already. Can you believe it? Time flies when you're having fun. I'm Ross Tucker. I played in the NFL for a while, but I can honestly say I am just the sidekick. The star of the show is Fran Duffy from the Philadelphia Eagles. And as I say all the time, if you like college football, if you like the NFL draft, if you like fantasy football, or all of the above, this is the podcast so that you know what to watch on Saturday. The top prospects in the biggest games. Then we'll even come back the very next week and just give you a little bit of heads up on some of the things we've seen that week, maybe even the week prior, if you will. Check him out on Twitter at FDuffy3. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. Brian, our steady producer, is at RTF Podcast. If you're a Facebook person, Facebook.com/RossTuckerNFL. And by the way, you can always, always, always email us any specific questions you have. And as long as you include a confirmation from one of the sponsors over at RossTucker.com, we'll answer it. So you got a specific prospect? We are more than happy to answer it. And Fran is all over Tuckheads.com. For those of you that are already signed up over there, or for those of you that are thinking about it, you get a chance to interact with Fran as well. Fran, let's start with some guys that stood out from last week or maybe even the last couple weeks based on your tape study. Who you got this week?
Well, Ross, the one name Friday night, and everybody was watching Stanford and Washington as the Huskies just rolled on Friday night, but really one player from another game kind of stole the show. And that's BYU running back Jamal Williams, 6 foot, 215 pounds. They played Toledo Friday night, Ross. He ran for 286 yards, 5 touchdowns, almost 10 yards a carry, which is obviously ridiculous numbers. Now, it just so happens that on Friday morning, I actually watched Williams. I watched 2 games of Williams against UCLA and Utah just because I hadn't watched him. He had missed the whole year previously, so I didn't watch him last year as a junior. Big physical kid. I think he's got ability on third down as a blocker and as a receiver, really natural catching the ball out of the backfield. I just don't know if he's athletic enough to be a starting NFL running back. That was my question after watching him in those 2 games. But I do think that he can find a role in a primarily zone blocking scheme at the next level as a change of pace option, more of a short yardage guy. But I like Williams. Was not surprised at all to see him go off against those Rockets of Toledo on Friday night. Watched a bunch of games Saturday, man, and there were a lot of really good ones. You know, in the early games, I watched Florida Vanderbilt, and you know, it wasn't like this obviously an offensive slugfest. But the one player that the broadcast was just gushing over was Adam Butler, a defensive tackle from Vanderbilt. We've talked about Zach Cunningham, who actually was a player that I was watching very closely in that game. But Zach Butler had 5 tackles and 2 sacks. So actually this morning, before we came on the air, I turned on Butler against South Carolina, and he's pretty impressive. You know, he's 6'4", just over 300 pounds. You know, he impressed me most. He plays as a nose tackle there for Derek Mason in that 3-4 scheme. He comes from Stanford, so you can get an idea of how they play football defensively at Stanford or at Vanderbilt. But he's not your typical nose tackle. You know, he wins with his first step. He's a pretty good athlete for the position. His big thing is he needs to get stronger. Yeah, and in a big way. He was on the ground a lot. He didn't get a lot of movement in terms of his pass rush as a bull rusher, but he did win as a pass rusher in a lot of different ways. You know, whether it was with a spin move, an arm over, a hand swipe, a long arm, he lined up and down the line of scrimmage. He's pretty impressive. I want to continue to watch more, but he will need to get stronger before he gets to the next level. You know, I watched Michigan and Wisconsin. That was a great game, obviously, for those of you who watched that. We've talked about all the talent that Michigan's got. Devion Smith didn't have a huge game numbers-wise. I think it was something just under 4 yards a carry, but showed off the power, the competitiveness, the ability to make people miss as well for a bigger guy. I mean, and not just make people miss with his wiggle, but run through initial contact. And I really like Devion Smith. I put something out there on Saturday that both of the Michigan wideouts, because I actually watched both of them from earlier this year again. Jehu Chesson, who's 6'3", 207, and Amara Darbo, 6'1", 215. Two guys we've talked about, two seniors at the position at wide receiver. Both guys really impressed me as blockers in the run game, and they do a lot of the little things really well. I think Chesson's got to continue to get better as a route runner, but both guys really impressed me in the run game. They're used in a lot of different ways, and then also just beating press coverage. They do a lot of little things really well there from a Michigan standpoint at the wide receiver position. You know, staying at wide receiver, Mike Williams again stood out to me in the Clemson-Louisville game. Obviously, that was a ridiculous game with a crazy finish down to the wire. You know, Clemson was just too much. Williams ended up with 5 for 70 and a touchdown, 6'3", 225. I actually compared him, and this actually, it occurred to me, a big kid that, you know, who's got that kind of size, who moves like he does, he reminds me a little bit of Dante Moncrief from the Indianapolis Colts. I loved Moncrief coming out of Ole Miss a couple years ago, and Williams kind of reminds me of that in terms of what he is stylistically. A couple players that I know that we've talked about in the past, and there were matchups that we've talked about in the past that I've gone back and rewatched. Arkansas tight end Jeremy Sprinkle, who is just under 6'5", 252 pounds. We talked about the matchup against Texas A&M and safety Justin Evans a couple weeks ago. I watched that game. Didn't focus necessarily on that matchup because I was taking in so much else. So I went back and I watched Sprinkle. I'll tell you what, man. They use him in a lot of different ways in the run game, and he really held up very well against both Texas A&M defensive ends. You know, against Miles Garrett and Deshaun Hall, there were times where they asked him to block them one-on-one, and I thought he held up very well, knows how to run routes. There are a lot of times where, you know, I'm watching him and I see a play and I'm like, you know what, that's an NFL tight end play, you know, where he chips a defensive end, gets him on the ground, you know, attacks a defender downfield, attacks his technique, steps on his toes and separates at the top of the route and makes the catch down the seam. There were a couple plays against the Aggies in that game where I looked at Jeremy Sprinkle and said, you know what, this guy's going to stick in the league. I don't know that he's big enough and strong enough or athletic enough really to maybe be that tight end one, you know, be that lead dog as a tight end. But I feel really confident in his ability to stick in the NFL. And then lastly, I know we've been kind of going on here. Lastly, three guys at Pitt that have kind of still, we've talked about the two offensive linemen for the Panthers that I really, really like, and Dorian Johnson. I like Adam Bisnawati as well. We know about James Conner, the running back, and his story. I want you to keep an eye on the quarterback, Nathan Peterman, who's 6'2", 225. A lot of people were talking about him this weekend. He went 17 for 23, 283 yards and two touchdowns. I'll tell you what, I watched Peterman a couple weeks back. He stood out to me, man. And in terms of this senior quarterback class, we've talked about how it's not a strong group. He could be the best senior quarterback in the country when it's all said and done. And it wouldn't surprise me at all. I'll be very interested to see how his value kind of changes. He's a Tennessee transfer, a really interesting kid, good decision-making. A lot of people told me that they were up and down on his accuracy coming into the year. He looked pretty accurate in the two games that I watched of him earlier this season against Penn State and Oklahoma State. So Nathan Peterman, the quarterback, Juan Price on the defensive side of the football, the defensive end, very undersized, four tackles, two sacks this past week at Marshall, has been ridiculously productive this year as a pass rusher. The problem is that I think he's only a pass rusher at this point. He's not big enough to hold up in the run game consistently. He doesn't play special teams for Pitt. So what can he do other than get after the quarterback? Obviously, that's a huge part of what he's being asked to do. I love the way he uses his hands. I love the way he counters once he's initially blocked. Price is a really, really interesting player that I think is more of a mid-round guy because he's a pass rush specialist, really quick, hard to get his hands on him as an offensive lineman, just a really impressive kid. And then they've got a nose tackle as well, Tyreek Jarrett, who's 350-plus pounds. He had three tackles against Marshall, pure two-gap run-stuffing nose tackle, has had issues with his weight in the past, doesn't offer much as a pass rusher, but you kind of get an idea of what Jarrett can bring to the table as well. So a lot of players, we're getting to that point in the season, Ross, where I'm watching a lot of these games live throughout the weekend, but also trying to catch up on some players and some matchups that we've talked about here on this podcast over the last few weeks.
Dude, Fran, couple things. Number one, did Alex Anzalone stand out to you at all? Number 34 for Florida in the Florida Vanderbilt game. Did he do anything?
He made a couple plays. Not that I was like, oh man, I'm blown away. Honestly, when I was watching, when Vanderbilt had the football, number one, I was interested to see how Kyle Shurmur, the quarterback, was, because obviously we know his father, Pat Shurmur, who's a coach in the league and is with the Minnesota Vikings now. But then also some of the other guys in that Florida D, man. Like, we've talked about Jared Davis and the two corners. We'll talk about him again today. So Anzalone, I wasn't zeroing in on, and he made a couple plays, but I wasn't necessarily studying him hard.
Got it. He's from my high school, Why Missing PA. So anytime a Florida game comes up, I'm going to ask you about him, that's for sure. Also wanted to ask you or mention two things. So Friday night, I did the Dartmouth-Penn game, and you need to study the quarterback for Penn. He is legitimately good. He was all Ivy League last year. His name is Alec Torgerson. And he's 6'3", 230, kind of has a Matthew Stafford body type, I'd say, maybe a hair taller, but really powerfully built. When he does run, he runs powerfully. Not a great athlete, but he's a good athlete. But the ball really comes out of his hand nicely. I mean, he can really spin the football. I mean, I do an NFL game every Sunday, and he can really throw the ball. So when you get a chance, you got to check out Alec Torgerson from Penn. So I did that game Friday night. I take the first flight Saturday morning to Atlanta, and I got like no sleep, so I slept a couple hours. But then my setup, Fran, was I sat there, I had Princeton Columbia on my laptop while I had Notre Dame Syracuse on the big screen in my room at noon to 3. Then I had Penn State Minnesota on my laptop while I had Michigan, Wisconsin on one screen, and I actually had two TVs in my room. It's a long story. And I had Florida State against North Carolina on the other one. And then sprinkled in back and forth Georgia, Tennessee. And then, of course, I watched Clemson against Louisville at night. You know, having kids and usually traveling Saturday afternoons, I don't get a chance to just do that. It was glorious, dude. It was. I just sat there in my hotel room in my underwear all day and ordered room service for lunch, room service for dinner. I mean, it was amazing. There is a God. Oh, it was.
First of all, it's way too early in the morning for me to have a vision of you just sitting in your underwear watching football all day. But I can't believe you didn't even mention anything about any kind of daddy sodas throughout this entire day, which I find hard to believe.
I did not have any. I just thought, you know what? I didn't want to order beer from daddy sodas from room service because, you know, I'm expensing it. So it just wasn't a, you know, it's just not the right move. You know what might be the right move, Fran? RichUncles.com. Boom! Look, would you rather put your money in the bank and earn less than 1%, or be the bank's landlord and be paid over 6.5%. Yeah, I get it. Money in the bank, safe. Commercial real estate has risks. It's not guaranteed. Rich Uncles REIT is a real estate investment trust that rents to creditworthy tenants like Walgreens, Chase Bank, and they kick you back a dividend. Go to their website and check out Rich Uncles REIT A, Reg A, Tier 2 offering for yourself. Go to richuncles.com. That's richuncles.com or call 855-RICH-UNCLES.
Rich Uncles REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent, response will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $2,000 by Rich Uncles for this single message.
Head to head.
All right, Fran, let's dive into it. We got some college football on Saturday. What's the biggest game in your mind in terms of prospects?
To me, the biggest game in terms of prospects this week is probably Florida-LSU, and it's an early game. It's Saturday at noon on ESPN, and it's the return of Leonard Fournette. It looks like he's going to play for the first time in a couple weeks. He last played 2 weeks ago against Auburn. He went for 101 yards, just over 6 yards carry and a touchdown. A lot of people are wondering, you know, Fournette hasn't had that moment yet this season where everyone's like, yep, there's Leonard Fournette that we know. You know, there's the Heisman candidate. There's the all-everything future Adrian Peterson type prospect. But I mean, I've watched him again. I studied him against Mississippi State. I watched the Auburn game live. He's still the same guy. You know, they're just struggling offensively to really do much of anything at this point down at LSU. So, you know, just seeing him come back from the ankle injury, he's only averaged he's averaged 5.8 yards a carry. He's only got two touchdowns on the year. You know, could this be an opportunity for him to show up on a big stage against the Gators, who, you know, look, offensively, there's not much there, but defensively, they've got a number of big-time prospects. You know, to show up on a big stage here against the Gators would be big for Fournette. And I mentioned the Florida defense. We've talked about Jared Davis, the linebacker for the Gators, who I'm a big fan of. I told you he reminded me in the past of Alec Ogletree, a former first-round pick, now a star linebacker for the LA Rams out of Georgia. He's super explosive. Everything I've heard about the kid is A-plus off the field. You know, really hard worker, gets it, is the leader of the not just the defense but the entire team. So Davis is a guy, you know, athletically, you may not find two more physical freaks at the running back and linebacker spot in the SEC than these two players. So being able to see those two kind of meet head-to-head in the hole once or twice on Saturday afternoon should be quite a sight. He had a huge play, Jared Davis, on the final interception, honestly, actually, in the win over Vanderbilt this past Saturday. So watch Davis one-on-one against Fournette. Don't forget as well the safety, Marcus May, for Florida is a great run defender. He had seven tackles this past week against Vanderbilt, really stood out as well. Just under 6 foot, 209 pounds. A thumper on the back end. So between Davis and Marcus May and your boy Anzalone, it'll be interesting to see how they defend Leonard Fournette this Saturday. Also, when LSU's got the ball, and then really that's where you're going to see a bulk of these matchups, you know, these one-on-one matchups, is when LSU's got the football and Florida's on defense. On the perimeter, Malachi Dupree and Traven Doral have yet to really get going. You know, Dupree, probably higher upside, 6'4", 195 pounds, looks like a potential starter on the outside in the NFL. He hasn't scored a touchdown yet. He only had four catches for 37 yards this last week against Missouri. Honestly, that's what most of his stat lines have looked like this year, even though, you know, I've watched a couple of LSU games. The broadcasts have always done such a great job of showing, here's Malachi Dupree wide open in the end zone. Here's Malachi Dupree wide open along the sideline. Here's Malachi Dupree wide open in the middle of the field. And quarterbacks, for whatever reason, whether it's pressure or going elsewhere or just not playing, not seeing him and taking a sack, he's always been open. So we'll see if this is a game where he can get going. Traven Doral on the other side, a little bit more explosive than Dupree, a little bit smaller, not as strong as his ball skills, but is definitely a viable deep threat moving into the NFL. They're going up against one of the best secondaries in college football. In terms of the cornerback position especially, you have Jalen Tabor and Quincy Wilson, a pair of junior cornerbacks. Tabor, 6 foot, 191 pounds. He had a pick last week, his second of the season. Has everything you want physically for a starting cornerback. Needs to improve as a tackler, but in terms of playing in pass coverage, he has everything you want. He's got length, he's got quickness, he's got ball skills, he's got raw speed. Jalen Tabor, really, really intriguing prospect at the cornerback position. Quincy Wilson is bigger. You know, he's 6'1", 209 pounds, but not as athletic. You know, and that's going to be the big question for him moving forward is, does he have the athleticism and the deep speed, honestly, to hold up in the NFL? So that'll be the big question for me. Going up against a really talented pair of wide receivers, even though they struggle to get them the football, this is a really interesting battle between the LSU wide receiving core and Florida's corners. Down in the trenches, LSU, we've got the center, Ethan Pochich, who we've talked about. Big kid, just under 6'6", 316 pounds. He's athletic for his size, really nasty, gets after it in the run game. Going up against a Florida defensive front, Caleb Brantley, C.C. Jefferson, two guys that have big, in terms of their upside moving forward, they defend the run pretty well. Brantley, I studied this offseason, 6'2", 315 pounds. He's only got eight tackles and a sack so far through five games, but he's got a pretty good first step. He's got a solid anchor at the point of attack. So that'll be an interesting battle as well. You know, when Florida's got the football, not much there in terms of pro prospects for this year, Ross, but LSU's defense, Arden Key coming off the edge, who's been ridiculous. He's had seven sacks in five games so far this year. Arden Key just absolutely looks like an absolute stud. I really, really loved him on tape last year. Kendall Beckwith is the thumper in the middle, 6'3", 255-pound linebacker, one of the leaders in tackles for that defense. He's got 45 tackles through five games. And then Tre'Davious White, who's played a little bit on the outside, a little bit on the inside for the Tigers this year, 5'11", 195 pounds. He had a pick last week against Mizzou, his second on the year. White is one of the top corners in the country as well. So LSU's got prospects on both sides of the football. So when Florida's got the ball, you can focus on all these LSU guys and keep an eye on at every level of the defense.
Love it. What about Miami, Florida State? There's usually a bunch of prospects in that one. I'm looking at your list here in front of me. It's looking pretty light, Fran, for a Florida State-Miami matchup.
Well, especially right now where Miami's at from a program standpoint, I think that they're still kind of grooming some of these guys. A lot of their big-name players that they got in recruiting a couple years ago just didn't pan out and didn't turn into the type of prospects that they were hoping. Everybody's really high on Brad Kaya, and I think it's kind of cooled a little bit. But, you know, even, you know, 3-4 months ago, I mean, you saw, Ross, a lot of people's early mock drafts painted Brad Kaya as a top five, top 10 pick. I just don't think he's there. You know, and I studied two of his games before today's podcast, studied a couple of his games early in the season. This is his first real test. I mean, they haven't really played anybody. They played Georgia Tech last week, but they played Florida A&M. They played FAU, the two teams to open the season. And Kaya was okay. You know, he's got an okay arm. He's not a guy that's going to drive the football down the field, at least at a high rate. His accuracy is kind of up and down, not just on drive throws, but also on touch passes. You know, I think that being in this offense with Mark Richt is going to be good for him. You know, they're starting to give him some responsibility pre-snap. There was a play, I want to say it was against, which game was it? I think it was against FAU. It was his first interception against FAU because he actually threw two picks in that game. He read blitz from his right. He goes to the line of scrimmage, and he changes the protection to slide that way. That's great. That's awesome. You love to see that from a college quarterback, especially a junior, a third-year junior, to be able to come up in his first year in the offense, make that kind of check in his second game. So he takes the snap. He drops back, and he's thinking, all right, you know, the blitz is coming from the right. I'm going to throw it to the right into the void. He's trying to hit a tight end down the seam. He didn't see the linebacker buzzing out that way. The linebacker followed Kaya's eyes right to the football. Easy interception underneath. So, you know, there are times where you see Kaya and you say, okay, I think that he could be something. But then there are others where you see he still just has a lot to work to do. I'm not saying that he can never get there. He just needs a lot of work right now, especially mechanically. I mentioned that over the summer. I think some of those issues are getting a little bit better, but his lower body mechanics and honestly his release is a little bit longer as well. There are some mechanical things that'll need to get worked on with Kaya. I just don't see a guy that's going to be a top 10 pick. He's going up against a Florida State defense that we've talked a lot about. You know, we've talked about the cornerback Marquez White, who's really has not been challenged once again this year after being kind of a shutdown corner for the Seminoles last year. Only has 9 tackles, no pass breakups, no interceptions. Teams just aren't throwing his way right now for Florida State. Up front, FSU has a couple of defensive linemen that are worthwhile. DeMarcus Walker, the senior, just under 6'2". He's got he had 6 tackles and a sack fumble last week against North Carolina. He's got 6.5 sacks so far this season. I would expect him to meet Brad Kaya in the backfield once or twice because Miami's offensive line has not been great so far through 4 games. So that'll be an interesting matchup to me, is seeing how Kaya matches up against this Florida State defense. And then when you flip the script, go on the other side of the football, Dalvin Cook's been on fire, man. It was a slow start to the year, but over the last couple weeks, he's run for 407 yards and 5 touchdowns versus South Florida and UNC. Now, South Florida, obviously a lower level of competition in the ACC, what he sees every week. North Carolina, historically bad run defense over the past 2 years. So not exactly the highest level of competition that Cook has been putting these numbers up against, but you can't deny his electric ability with the football. He's got lightning quick feet, really, really dynamic, can win in the air as well as a receiver down the field. So Dalvin Cook, going up against a Miami defense, they lost some players coming into the year due to suspension and one guy getting tossed off the team. But they've got a couple of senior safeties, Ross, that were put on the Senior Bowl watch list. And I know that some scouts were very high on coming into the year. Rayshon Jenkins, who was a former big-time recruit, 6'1", 211 pounds. And Jamal Carter, another senior, 6'2", 212. Both guys have been pretty productive so far this year. 20 tackles for both guys. Interception for Rayshon Jenkins so far on the season. I'll be interested to see how they match up against Florida State coming downhill against Dalvin Cook. And we know Cook lives to make plays in the second and third level of the field. So how will those two safeties in the back end react when Cook reaches out in space?
What about some other matchups, Fran, around the country? Now, you know, I think people probably know this, but we have an outline for the podcast before we do it. So I have some sense of the guys that you want to talk about and the games we're going to talk about. Fran, you know how to get my attention.
I know.
I want to start with Bucknell tackle Julian Davenport against Holy Cross DN Dwayne Cameron. I had nothing to do with this. Everybody knows I have an affinity for the FCS, for the level I played at. Used to be 1AA, and in particular, the Ivy League and the Patriot League. By the way, Fran, Ivy League currently has 14 guys on NFL active rosters. That's the most ever. And that doesn't include a bunch of IR guys and five practice squad guys. So there are more than 20 guys right now from the Ivy League getting paid money by NFL teams right now. And more of them are getting a look every year. So I have an affinity for Ivy League FCS in general, and then as well as Penn State, just because I do some local media stuff here and I grew up a Penn State fan. But you've got Bucknell tackle Julian. And the interesting thing about Julian Davenport is, Fran, is the head coach for Bucknell, Joe Susan, was my offensive line coach at Princeton my sophomore and junior years. And I talked to him every once in a while. He told me about Davenport when he was a freshman and basically said, this guy has no business being here. And this guy... Because he used to be at Rutgers, and he said, this kid would have started for us at Rutgers. Greg Schiano's kid plays for Bucknell, and Schiano said, that kid is legitimately good. I didn't even know you knew about him, Fran. Talk to me about this matchup.
Well, Davenport is definitely on the radar nationally. You know, a 6'6", 301 pounds. Listen, he's a two-time captain. He's a four-year starter. Everything that I've heard about him athletically is very good in terms of, especially coming from a lower level of competition. I know some people that viewed him in that third, fourth, fifth round area coming into the year. So certainly a notable prospect that I'm excited to do even more work on. It wouldn't surprise me at all to see Davenport end up at the Senior Bowl. So Davenport, and this is, look, coming from that level of competition, you're always looking for, all right, What is going to be his best game? What is the game that everybody's going to look at and say, all right, if I'm going to watch Davenport, what game am I going to watch him? You got to look at the best pass rusher in the Patriot League. And the best pass rusher in the Patriot League, not just this year, but going back last year as well, is Holy Cross's Dwayne Cameron. You know, he's 6'4", 255 pounds. He was first team all-conference last year, led the conference in sacks a year ago, currently leads the conference with five sacks so far this year. This is the matchup that everybody's going to look at for Julian Davenport when they're preparing to study him for the NFL draft and for the Senior Bowl. Is, all right, well, this is going to be the top pass rusher in the Patriot League. How is Davenport going to perform? So this is a huge test for him. Look, he's gone up against him over the last couple of years, but now it's the money on the line now, you know, for him. This is going to be a huge outing for Julian Davenport and a chance to prove himself against the best defender in the conference. So I knew that you, even though I had a third on the list, something told me that as soon as you saw it, that you would try and bump this up to the number one matchup that we would talk about. But certainly a couple of players from the FCS level that are definitely worth discussing as we move
nice.
Forward throughout the prospect.
I'm looking forward to that one. And, of course, it wouldn't be a week here on the College Draft Podcast if you didn't talk about Western Michigan receiver Corey Davis, who you may or may not surprisingly be his agent.
Well, look, I mean, if I was, then I'd be making a lot of money in a couple months and I wouldn't have to worry about it. But look, Corey Davis is outstanding, man. I'm a really, really big fan of his game. I watched him again earlier this season, I think against Northwestern, and he stands out in every area, man, as a receiver. His numbers are once again very good going into this game. And much like I said earlier with Davenport, everybody's going to look at guys from a lower level. He's coming from the MAC. It's not FCS, but from a mid-major program. And they're going to say, all right, well, who did he go up against? Well, they played against two Big Ten teams. They played Illinois a couple weeks ago. They played Northwestern in week one. Now when they get into the MAC action, he's probably not going to face a better corner than Sean Lurie from Northern Illinois, who was a first-team all-conference player last year, was one of the leaders in interceptions in the entire MAC conference. And so far, Lurie's got six pass breakups in five games. Doesn't have a pick yet this year, but obviously is a player that MAC quarterbacks are staying away from. Corey Davis last week against their rival Central Michigan, 6 for 72 yards for 2 touchdowns. Davis, like I said, does everything. He can get you deep. He can win in the quick game. He's got good size. He can go up and win at the catch point. I really, really like Corey Davis. I think he's easily one of the 2 or 3 best receivers in the country from an NFL draft prospect perspective. So certainly a guy that when I go back to watch Davis again leading up to this draft, this will be a matchup that I will watch because it is one of the best corners in the MAC conference, one of his best tests going into the season.
Any other matchups?
Yeah, the last matchup we'll talk about, I talked about Jeremy Sprinkle earlier, and Arkansas, they play Alabama this week. And when you look at Alabama's defense, obviously there's talent at every level. You know, you've got the linebacker Reuben Foster in the middle along with Sean Dion Hamilton. You've got safety Eddie Jackson. So when Sprinkle releases out into the route, and athletically I think Sprinkle, he's one of those guys that's better in a straight line than he is moving side to side. When he changes direction, he takes a little bit to gear out of that and pick up the full speed. So I think Jackson has the advantage athletically there. Jackson obviously is a great prospect at the safety position, probably the best safety in the country. But really, I can't wait to see Sprinkle again as a blocker at the point of attack. They've got a ton of guys on the defensive line there for Alabama. We've talked about Tim Williams and Ryan Anderson. I love Ryan Anderson as well. Probably a better player than Tim Williams is all around, but Williams the better prospect because of his explosiveness off the ball. Another good test here for Sprinkle, who is probably one of the better all-around tight ends, just doesn't have the upside of some of his peers like O.J. Howard, who's on the other side for Alabama, Jordan Leggett from Clemson, Jake Butt. We've talked about a lot of these guys throughout the season. So that's another matchup I'm excited to watch.
When someone says, I can't wait to watch him block at the point of attack, they have the sickness. They have the disease. Fran, you absolutely have it. There's a shortage of people in the galaxy that say that. I can't wait to watch him block at the point of attack. But you're 100% right. I'm looking forward to that one as well. Penn State and Florida both playing at noon. The schedule makers are screwing me again, just like I screwed Greg Cosell on the RTFP draft last year. You screwed me again, Ross. The schedule makers screwing me by having Penn State, Maryland, and Florida LSU at the same time, but I will do my best. Already looking forward to next week's show. Make sure you check out Fran's weekly piece at PhiladelphiaEagles.com titled Saturday Scouting, because he'll get into even more individual matchups and have even more of a chance to write about Corey Davis, his beloved wide receiver from Western Michigan. He's Fran. Check him out on Twitter at FDuffy3. That way you won't miss that Saturday scouting. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL. We love when you guys spread the word, and we would absolutely love to go ahead and answer any specific questions you have about any prospects across the country, even for your team. Other than that, the keg is kicked. I'm all tapped out.
Thanks for enjoying your Frosty One while listening to the College Draft.
Chugga, 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 chugga.
Make sure you're also subscribing to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, Fantasy Feast, and Even Money Podcasts, all available on iTunes at rostucker.com or wherever podcasts can be found.
Everybody likes to get stuff for free, right?
Yes!
Well, then how would you like 2 months of Podcast One Premium for free just by giving us your email address?
Amazing!
You give us your email address, and we'll give you 2 free months of Podcast One Premium's exclusive content from Adam Carolla, Shaq, Brandy Glanville, Chris Jericho, Steve Austin, and a whole lot more. We won't even ask you for a credit card to make this happen, so your financial future is 100% safe.
Well, actually, that's up to you, but at least we won't screw you up.
Get 2 free months of Podcast One Premium. Go to PodcastOne.com and click the register button on the homepage.